Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're recording from the Military Appreciation Day at the Minnesota State Fair. And we always start the show with a message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard. But today, we've got him here captive, live in the booth. General Nash, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom. It's great to be with you again at the Minnesota State Fair.
General, this is Military Appreciation Day, and I would guess, I see Colonel Olson there, you've probably got a full schedule out here.
It started early this morning. He gave me an arrive time. I arrived at 07, and there was me and I think six other people I saw walking on the street, so his timeline was a little bit off.
Well, it's glad to see you out here, sir, and happy that you're off to a good start. I'm sure you've got a few more visits you have to make today. Can you tell us, I saw you at the opening ceremony at 9:45. Can you tell us what you're up to today out at the Military Appreciation Day at the fair?
Sure, Tom. We started off, obviously, as you saw, over at the Liney Lodge Bandshell, and Anna Long from the Department of Veterans Affairs was the MC for that event and kicked us off for the celebration of Minnesota Military Appreciation Day. We also had the opportunity to have the Lieutenant Governor Tina Smith was there to greet all the veterans, service members, and their families. And then we had a flag raising by a all-service color guard. And at the same time that was going on, they had the a band was there, and they sung the national anthem. And just on cue, the Confederate Air Force flew over the flagpole. So it was all timed very well, and that really kicked off the day at the fair.
There we saw the T-6s fly over, and I think it was a B-25 out there as well, and nice to see those things.
They were, and you know, Jerry Kaiser does a great job, and I know Jerry's been on the show with you before, and so he's able to coordinate those flyovers for events such as this, and again, he was coordinated very well, and the timing was perfect.
General, I think this is the fifth annual Military Appreciation Day at the fair, and I think you're in your fifth year as Adjutant General. Is that a coincidence, sir?
I'm not sure. I haven't been keeping as close a track of that as you have, Tom, but you're probably right.
And we're coming up on the fifth anniversary of Minnesota Military Radio, coming up October 31st.
We are. A very successful program that you hatched the idea of at least 5 years ago, and now, as you mentioned in the opening monologue, it's, 23 stations across Minnesota. And I'm very proud of the fact that you finally secured the K-Check radio station in my hometown. And they do a great job supporting the veterans in the New Prague, Montgomery, Lonsdale, Vesely, and New Market, Jordan area. So we're very proud of the number of stations that you have now carrying your program.
Well, General, it's an honor to be able to tell the story of the military in Minnesota and the Yellow Ribbon programs and our heroes that have served in so many wars and all of the Army and Air National Guardsmen that have been deployed so many times since September of 2001.
So, Tom, let me ask you a question. Since you're always doing this for the last 5 years, asking questions, tell me and reflect back on the 5 years, who was your most interesting interview with?
Well, I think it was the TAG.
No, Tom. No, you know, I've heard not all of the programs, obviously, but I know you've had interesting guests with interesting stories over the years, and I think it'd be worthwhile for your audience to hear some of those that have really struck you as being very meaningful and impactful for, you know, what you've done, obviously your service starting back in Vietnam. In fact, Tom, I'll tell your listeners the story. The Minnesota Museum at Camp Ripley, Minnesota History Museum at Camp Ripley, opened a new Vietnam display probably about a month ago, and I was going through that about 2 weeks ago, and I saw a picture of a young airman from in his uniform and a little bit of a story, and the individual's name was Lyons on the uniform, and I'm just wondering if that was you, Tom.
Well, I think that guy had some hair, so I didn't recognize him, sir.
He looked a little slimmer and a little more physically fit, but I'm sure that was your days in Vietnam with the Air Force.
It was my tour of duty into Cameron Bay in Vietnam, and many, many decades ago, sir, and it's my honor to be able to tell the stories of all of our veterans. And you asked me the one story that sticks out, and there was one of a soldier who served with General Patton at the end of the war in Europe, and he was one of the first to go into the camps and witness the Holocaust. And he told us a story that General Eisenhower told all the troops, take pictures document everything here, because there'll come a day when somebody will say that this didn't happen, that the Holocaust didn't happen. And, of course, we've heard those kind of things in, you know, over the course of the last decade. And the other thing he said that stuck with me forever is he says the Holocaust was real. And all that it takes for evil to triumph is for good men to stand by and do nothing. And I think of that story every time we do a show. And I think about all of your soldiers and airmen that serve overseas and serve their country and risk their lives. And that's my, the story that sticks out to me, sir.
Well, that's pretty moving, Tom. You know, you mentioned about the liberations of the death camps, and Steve Hunnigs with the JCRC is putting a program together this fall and bringing in members who were the liberators and then the surviving members of the death camps, concentration camps, the liberated. And so that's going to be a program that he's putting on. I know he's out marketing with the DVA and other organizations to get attendance at that, but that's going to be pretty moving. I think it's the 70th anniversary of the liberation of the death camps. And but to bring in members who were there at those camps, as you just mentioned, the individual that you interviewed, as well as surviving members who were obviously young at the time when they were interned.
We're speaking with Major General Rick Nash, the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, on Minnesota Military Radio from Military Appreciation Day at the State Fair. General, it seems like some of the deployments have slowed down a little bit, but you've still got people deployed around the world, don't you?
We do, Tom. The numbers obviously are not as high as when we started this program, when we had 3,000 to 4,000 deployed overseas to Afghanistan, Iraq, and other locations around the globe. But we just recently had our 34th Combat Aviation Brigade return from Kuwait, where they were doing operations there as well as into Iraq after issues have started up there. We also had our 204th Area Medical Support Company return in the last month doing an operation in the Sinai in the northern part near the Gaza Strip, and in the southern part near the Egyptian border, providing medical care to the UN peacekeepers that are there, that have been there now for well over 25 years. And so it was a very stressful rotation for them because they did have attacks on the bases with ISIS or ISIL or Daesh, whatever we're going to call them. So it was a place that had been somewhat of a sleepy hollow in the Sinai for many, many years, and they experienced the attacks in the Sinai.
General, you've had a lot of deployments since 2001. How's recruiting going? Are you up to full strength?
We're not only up to, but over our requirements. Currently in the Minnesota Army National Guard, we're well over 117% strength, and we've been able to maintain that now for many, many years. And even with the duration of the conflict since 9/11, our recruiting and retention battalion command and the soldiers there have been able to maintain that high level of a percentage in the Minnesota Army National Guard as well as in the Air National Guard. We're always over 100%, and typically both wings, the 133rd Airlift Wing here in Minneapolis and the 148th Fighter Wing in Duluth, are at 104% strength. So, and I know you're going to have General Lloyd Olt on later in the program, and he's responsible for our recruiting retention battalion, and Lieutenant Colonel Mike Pasernick and his team have just done a wonderful job. But we're most proud of the fact that we continue to increase the percentage of our diversity in the Minnesota National Guard, both in race and ethnicity, as well as in giving opportunities for women to join. And we'll be well over 27% of new enlistees in the Minnesota Army National Guard this year, and probably 24+ in the area of diversity and inclusion. And so we strive to be a very inclusive organization. And the Recruiting Retention Command have met the challenge each and every year for the last 4 years, and so we're very proud of that.
General, we've just got a couple seconds or a couple minutes left. What are you looking forward to over the course of the next year?
Well, certainly we have the deployments that are going to continue, Tom. We have not only the ones that are currently deployed, about 30 airmen in various locations around the globe, but our Wilmer-based engineers will deploy later in October to Kuwait about 150 soldiers, so we're not complete yet. And we'll still have a call for soldiers and airmen to be engaged in the conflicts that we have around the world. We also have today, and your listeners may be interested in the fact that we're also in our domestic operations side of the house supporting Washington State. And about 7 days ago, we sent two Black Hawk helicopters and 13 members of the crews to Washington State to help put out fires in the Spokane area.
So once again, the federal mission is active, and the state mission and the local missions are quite active. And that's the difference between the Guard and the Reserve. The Guard's got that dual focus, and you're always busy, sir.
That's what we do, and that's what the governor expects, as well as the president, is that we meet our federal mission when called, and we're always ready for the domestic man-made or natural disasters that happen, not only in Minnesota, in the upper Midwest, but obviously, as you can see, wherever it's needed out west.
General, like, thank you for stopping by the booth today. Any final thoughts for our listeners?
No, thanks, Tom, for having me again. You have a great a booth here. Thanks for the air conditioning today. And it's great looking over here at the, I'm not sure if we give them a plug or not, but there's a large motorcycle sales department right next to you, and looking at all the great bikes they have here. So I'm not sure if they're a paid sponsor, so I probably won't mention them on the air, but it certainly is drawing a lot of folks here. And I know we have the Patriot Guard coming on next, and he's feeling right at home here with all these cycles. So
yeah, I saw Tim over there looking at all of those. We'll have him on in the fourth segment.
It's a good place for anybody in the Patriot Guard, those great Americans, over 5,000 Minnesota, to stop by and not only see Tom Lyons and his great program, but shop for maybe a new bike for either himself or his wife or a significant other.
General, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure, Tom.
That was Major General Rick Nash, the Adjutant General of the Minnesota Army and Air National Guard on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay tuned. We're going to have Colonel Sandy Best back in with us to talk about women in the military. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. Back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. Today we're recording from Military Appreciation Day at the Minnesota State Fair. In the first segment, we talked to Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. In this segment, we're going to talk to the air side with Colonel Sandy Best from the Minnesota Air National Guard. Colonel, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom. Good to be here.
Thanks for joining us today out at the Minnesota State Fair. Can you tell me, Colonel, how long have you been in the service?
I have been in for 31 years, 7 years enlisted, and the rest has been commissioned.
And did you ever dream that you'd become an officer when you first started?
When I first started, no, I did not, but the military really gave me great opportunities, and that was one of them that I pursued after getting my education.
And you currently serve over at the Joint Force Headquarters?
Yes, I do. I serve full-time at the Joint Force Headquarters as the Director of Strategic Relations. And then militarily, I serve at the 133rd Airlift Wing as the Mission Support Group Commander.
Well, Colonel, you've made quite a career of it. What was your inspiration to join the military in the first place?
My sister served during the mid-70s to late 70s, and so she was my initial inspiration and led the way as a pioneer for women to follow. But additionally, I come from a military family, and my husband served. I have two daughters. I have aunts and uncles that have served. And currently, certainly working with the great men and women of the Minnesota Air and Army National Guard continues to inspire me. And one of our leaders is going to be retiring later this month, General Bob Caton from the 133rd. Actually, he is the Assistant Adjutant General Air, and he will be retiring, so we're going to be kind of in a transitionary period.
And Colonel, I see that one of your daughters is with you today. Is she planning on joining the military as well?
She is kind of a nonconformist, so she won't be joining the military, but I do have two daughters that did serve with me. One that is currently serving, and I also have two nephews that I have recruited that serve with me at the 133rd Airlift Wing.
Well, fortunately, your daughter's smiling at us, so I don't think we got you in trouble with that one, Colonel.
No.
What would you say to young adults, females in particular, that were thinking about serving in the military? Would you recommend the Air National Guard?
I absolutely would. I would recommend the Air for those who like the Air Service, and Army for those who like the Army. And it has been an absolutely wonderful career for me. It's helped me achieve dreams that I never thought even possible to include an associate, a bachelor's, a master's degree, meeting my husband, who we've been married now for 27 years, and so it's been a very outstanding experience. So I'd highly recommend it to men and women, minorities and majority members.
Colonel, very diplomatic answer. When I'm from the Air Force and the air side, and you're the air side. So
air power.
Air power, but Air or Army, Minnesota National Guard does a great job, don't they?
Yes, they do.
We're speaking with Colonel Sandra Best of the Minnesota Air National Guard on Minnesota Military Radio out at the State Fair for Military Appreciation Day. And Colonel, I saw you over when they had the opening ceremonies this morning. That was quite a group of folks and a nice ceremony, wasn't it?
Absolutely, it is, indeed.
A lot of activities out here. I hope we've got a lot of veterans out here on Military Appreciation Day. They get a little discount to come in. So a lot of veterans and a lot of servicemen out here today.
To include an Air and Army National Guard recruiting booth. So anybody that might be interested, you can learn more about both the Army and the Air over with the recruiters.
So, Colonel, you're out here recruiting today, too.
Absolutely. Don't miss an opportunity.
We're speaking with Colonel Sandy Best on Minnesota Military Radio from the State Fair. Colonel West, last time I saw General Nash before today, he came on the show, and we did a good portion of a show on diversity in the Minnesota National Guard. And that includes not just women, but minorities. And what he explained was diversity means try to match the population and all the people that we have here. I imagine that's something that you work on quite a bit.
Absolutely. Yes, we do. We have on the air side, we are working very hard. The Army has experienced very good recruiting numbers with initial recruits. The Air is very good at retaining our members once we get them in, but we need a larger focus on recruiting minority members. We have a high percentage of females, 22.5% of our force is females in the Air side. And now we're working very hard and diligently on becoming a more diverse force for a number of reasons.
And could you share with our listeners, the Air has two wings in Minnesota?
Yes, they do. We have the 133rd Airlift Wing, and that flies C-130 planes. And then we have the 148th Fighter Wing in Duluth, Minnesota, that flies F-16 fighter jets.
And so the air side of the Minnesota National Guard is about 2,000 airmen?
About 2,200 airmen.
Against about 12,000 soldiers, is that right?
Yes, Tom.
Give or take. And as the Adjutant General said, we're a full force, maybe a little more than we're authorized because there's always some turnover. And it seems surprising that you've been on a war footing for many years and there's been deployment after deployment, and yet the young people come out and join the Army and Air National Guard, and you're not having any trouble.
We are not. The air side has had more conservative numbers in regards to they cap the number of people, but we have been very successful in maintaining about 105% manning for as long as I can remember.
Now, Colonel, if we get some new recruits today that won't sign up at the State Fair, what can they expect over the first year of their term of service?
Well, they can expect to be embraced by the men and women of the 133rd Airlift Wing if they join the air side, and certainly the Army as well. They can expect to be given opportunities to, we have a rookie ranks program where they learn some of the preparation for successful completion of basic military training, which includes fitness, the customs and courtesies of the military, marching. They also would expect during that first year to be working with their recruiter and our base training office to be selected for school date for both basic military training and start their technical training, and really become and be given the opportunities to pursue a very successful career in the military.
Colonel, over the last 5 years when I've interviewed a lot of military personnel, Army and Air side, I hear about training all the time and readiness status. And it appears from my civilian standpoint that the Minnesota National Guard has a very high readiness status. And when we go out on these deployments, they perform very well.
That is absolutely the case. On the air side, we have a high readiness standard, as does the Army. The air is a different bit of a readiness preparation in that we can be mobilized in a 72-hour period. So that's a constant state of readiness on the air side, and we are always ready.
And, Colonel, one last question on the air side. It seems like the deployments for the Air National Guard are usually a shorter duration than when the Army and the soldiers go out for longer durations. So if someone's thinking about joining the Air National Guard today, they're probably going to be deployed, but it's probably shorter periods than the Army side.
Yes, Tom, that's true. The Army typically deploys for a year rotation, and on the air side, ours can be typically right now they have gotten to a point where they're six-month deployments, but we do rotations that are 3 to 6 months. And sometimes some of our maintenance and operations personnel are deployed at a more frequent base based on those shorter deployments.
Colonel, we're just about out of time. Any final thoughts for our listeners?
Well, thank you for the opportunity, and it is certainly an honor to serve in the Minnesota Air and Army National Guard. I represent both the Air and the Army at the Joint Force Headquarters level, and thank you for having me here today.
Colonel, thanks for joining us today. That was Colonel Sandy Best from the Minnesota Air National Guard on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay tuned. When I come back, we'll have the 34th Infantry Division Red Bull Commander on joining us from Military Appreciation Day at the Minnesota State Fair. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we're recording today from the Military Appreciation Day at the Minnesota State Fair. We've had General Nash on, and we had Colonel Best on, and now we have the Division Commander of the Minnesota National Guard's 34th Infantry Division, Red Bulls, Major General Neil Leutholt. General, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Tom, thanks for having me back. Great day to be at the fair.
General, how are our Red Bull soldiers doing?
Fantastic. I mean, it's a great time to be a Red Bull soldier, no doubt. And it is really a high op tempo for us, Tom. We have been able to capture a number of national training events that we're participating in since last year when we were at a warfighter. This summer, our 2nd Brigade was at the Joint Readiness Training Center, which is for our light fighting units. And next year, our own 1st Brigade, headquartered right here in Bloomington, Minnesota, is going to be at the National Training Center in Fort Irwin, California.
General, how did the Minnesota Army National Guard get to the top of that training cycle on a national basis?
Well, we're fortunate beneficiaries of the vision of our Adjutant General. You know, we started 6 years ago trying to ensure that our readiness in our formations was at the highest level possible. And we do that based on what you heard in a previous segment with our recruiting effort to make sure we always have the highest strength. And the most ready units are the ones that get picked for those rotations. And in Minnesota, the 34th Infantry Division is the number one rated infantry division, and the 1st Armored Brigade Combat Team is the number one heavy formation as well.
General, you're the commander of a legendary division, and just since 2001, you've had the longest and the largest deployment in the history, I believe. And by almost any measure, I would say it sounds like those two deployments were extremely successful.
They were. They are a big part of where we find ourselves today. There's a certain amount of sort of collective corporate muscle memory, Tom, that comes from participating in an event like that. And so while individual soldiers rotate and leaders get new positions, the unit, the organization, understands what it takes to be successful and how it can project that into the future. And so we've been very beneficial.
General, can you tell us the capabilities and the number of soldiers you have under your command at the 34th Infantry Division?
So, Tom, in Minnesota, you know, there's just about 12,000 soldiers in the Army National Guard. Not all of those are in the division, and the division is somewhere in the neighborhood of about 8,000. But we also have what's called a training alignment, Tom, with units that are in states that surround Minnesota. So another 12,000 soldiers and will find themselves with some association with the Red Bull Division.
In general, here in Minnesota, we're blessed. We've got two great training facilities, one in Arden Hills and one up at up in Little Falls, Camp Ripley.
Camp Ripley has, you know, it has always been a gem for us, but it really, this last summer, we were able to see with our 1st Brigade in their train-up to go to the National Training Center, conducted it's called an exportable combat training package, which had its units at Camp Ripley for 3 weeks conducting tank and Bradley gunnery, and it's the first time since the war, Tom, where we fought tank on tank at Camp Ripley because it has the maneuver space for us to do that.
Got a lot of acreage up there, and it's one of the, as I understand it, one of the premier training facilities in the country.
It is also the top-rated heavy training facility, so it continues the great tradition at Camp Ripley of the high readiness ratings that our units enjoy as well.
So that helps you keep your soldiers closer to home and well-trained and ready to go when it comes time for deployments.
It does, and the significance, Tom, of closer to home is that it allows us to maximize training readiness time without stealing time away from soldiers and families.
We're speaking with Major General Neil Lloyd-Holt, the commander of the 34th Infantry Division, Red Bulls of the Minnesota National Guard, on Minnesota Military Radio from Military Appreciation Day out at the Minnesota State Fair. General, I understand there was a big exercise last week all over the state.
All over the state and actually in some areas outside the state, Tom. It's called Vigilant Guard. It's an exercise that's sponsored by United States Northern Command that's designed to test our readiness to respond, not in a war contingency, but as General Nash mentioned earlier, to those natural disasters that might occur. It gives us the ability to test our communications with our state partners, our interoperability with like-type units and civilian responders, sheriffs, police departments, etc. And at the end, we were able to find some areas where we might be able to improve to give us something to work on here in the coming years.
And, of course, that's the purpose of training, isn't it, sir, to make sure that you work out some of those wrinkles before you have to go off to war?
It's a very important point you make. We like to say that we're training, not testing, because if soldiers feel that you might be testing, you're less likely to be able to determine what needs to be fixed and determine how to fix it. And in this environment, we were able to determine what needs to be fixed, and the next step will be for us to build those lessons learned into next year's and the following year's training plans.
General, I wanted to ask you, there was a deployment that was called off earlier this year where potentially you were going to send some soldiers, and I think you were going to lead them yourself over to Africa for this Ebola problem that came up. And I asked a couple of the soldiers that were supposed to be on that deployment how they felt about it, and the answer that came back was, who's better able, who's better trained, who's more disciplined, who's better able to go over there and take on that duty than Minnesota Army National Guard soldiers? It pretty much echoes your feelings, doesn't it?
It does. It's what makes me so proud and fortunate to be the commander at this time. But I might say, Tom, I know that you're retired, but the way you describe that attitude of a Red Bull soldier, I think you could join the division right now if you wanted to.
General, I don't think my wife would like it if I was deployed. Just being out here at the state fair and talking to you is good enough. And telling these stories, it's a great honor to do that. But it was enlightening to me. As long as I've been doing this program for 5 years, and I was concerned, like a lot of the civilians were, about Ebola. I mean, this is dangerous stuff. And to get that gung-ho attitude from those soldiers that were getting ready to deploy, and then I watched the video that you posted about how we're going to train for it, we're going to know more about it, we're going to be prepared, we're going to have the gear, we are going to be able to handle this. And it was an interesting time, and for me it was very enlightening.
That's a hallmark of a well-trained unit, Tom, that it will undertake any adventure because it is so comfortable and confident in the training that it's done thus far that it actually can undertake any adventure and believes it as well.
Well, General, we've got about 4 minutes left. I wanted to ask you, you mentioned earlier the 2nd Brigade recently trained at the Joint Readiness Training Center in Louisiana. What was that about, sir?
So it's a similar exercise to what I described that our 1st Brigade will do, which is it's a force-on-force exercise, but that's for a light infantry brigade. So there's not tanks and Bradleys in that organization. It's foot soldiers primarily. And they are also involved then in a 21-day force-on-force exercise in a highly stressful environment. You know, it's hot, it's humid, it's dirty and nasty. But you want to be in that environment because you can test your soldiers as well as you possibly can. And they performed admirably. We have our 2nd Battalion, battalion that General Nash himself commanded, 2-1-3-5, was a round-out unit to that 2nd Brigade, and so it was able to participate in the rotation as well.
And, General, you also mentioned that the 1st Brigade is preparing for the National Training Center in Mojave Desert, California, next year. Is that the height of the training? Is that the most serious training that we get in the United States Army?
It is, Tom. It's the identical training scenario that active duty Army brigades go through, and our 1st Brigade will fight the same enemy in the same environment at the exact same time. And for those who think it might get a little warm here today when the sun comes out, it's 114 degrees right now in Fort Irwin, California.
That'll remind you of being out in the desert somewhere else a few years ago. What?
Well, it was a lot drier heat, though, in Iraq, Tom.
Hot is hot, General. But I like the face you put on it. Sir, we just got about a minute and a half left. Anything else you'd like to share with us today about the soldiers of the 34th Infantry Division?
Let me just say this on behalf of the soldiers of the 34th Division. Thank you again to you, Tom. You know, you do such a good job of helping us thank others and bring other people together. Sometimes we don't thank you enough. And without your efforts, without this radio program, without the additional markets that you've put us into, we wouldn't be as connected as soldiers as we are, and we wouldn't have as good a unit as we do. So thank you very much, Tom.
Well, General, it's my honor, and there's a lot of veterans around the state of Minnesota that are happy to be able to follow the 34th Infantry Division and hear about what you're doing and how well-trained you are and your readiness status. So, and once again, thanks for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Have a great day, Tom.
That was the Commanding General of the 34th Infantry Division Red Bulls of the Minnesota Army National Guard on Minnesota Military Radio, recording from Military Appreciation Day at the State Fair. Please stay with us. We'll talk to the Command Sergeant Major and the Minnesota Patriot Guard coming up next. Military Appreciation Day at the Minnesota State Fair. And our guest in the fourth segment here is going to be the Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham. Sergeant Major, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Tom. Great to be with you again. You know, what a pleasure, because I think the last time we spoke, you said I was playing hooky. Actually, you said I was AWOL because I had missed a segment, and now I get to be with you like within a two-week period twice, so it's a great opportunity.
And no pressure, Sergeant Major. We had on the Adjutant General, and we had on Colonel Best, and we had on the Division Commander. Now we've got the Command Sergeant Major of the Minnesota National Guard, so we expect you to hold up the fourth segment as high as any of them, sir.
Well, the way I see it, they just kind of warmed it up for me, so I appreciate all their hard work to get this segment ready for me.
I see a two-star general out there shaking his head and something about a boot. It's getting deep, I think. Sergeant Major, can you explain to our listeners, what does the Command Sergeant Major do in the Minnesota National Guard?
Well, since my boss is listening out there, what do I do? Well, I am charged by the Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash, as his Senior Enlisted Advisor. And what that means is I have a responsibility for our 14,000 soldiers and airmen in the Minnesota National Guard to be out and about, to kind of feel the pulse of what's going on within our organization, report back to the Adjutant General, and make sure that things within our Minnesota National Guard are running smoothly, and talk to him about issues or other things that might need a little help or resolution.
Now, Sergeant Major, you've been in this position for about a year now, and is there anything different about what you know today than what you thought you knew a year ago when you started?
What do I know that's a little bit different? Well, I knew coming into this job that it was going to be a great opportunity, which it is. I've had just an absolute fantastic time over the last year. I knew that it would be a little bit travel heavy, and it is, but I enjoy every minute of it. What I didn't know is how rewarding it would be for me to get out and spend time with our soldiers, with our airmen, and really get to know them, connect with them, and talk to them about issues that are affecting our Minnesota National Guard.
Now, Sergeant Major, I know that the Adjutant General has about, I think, six priorities that he's been working on and working on diligently that I've watched for the last 5 years. And I think when you first came on, you had a list of things that you wanted to accomplish. Have they changed, and can you review those with us?
Yeah, I still have the list of things that I place emphasis on. And the first one is, of course, we still have suicides within our ranks. And, you know, the statistics say that 22 veterans each day take their own lives. And it's important that we continue to talk about suicide, remove any stigmas that people might believe are there, and, you know, inform our soldiers, our airmen, that it's okay to ask for help, that, you know, they're not the only ones that are struggling with things, and we have resources available to help them.
While we're on that, Sergeant Major, we did a suicide prevention program last September for Suicide Prevention Month. And so for our listeners, if you know anyone that's having any trouble or things are funny, go to Minnesota Military Radio, put in suicide prevention, listen to that show from last year, because we had experts on from the VA Hospital, from the Minnesota National Guard, and from the Chaplains Corps, and we covered that topic in detail so that you can recognize some changes and get some help, because there's help available.
There is a lot of help available. One suicide is too many, and we want to do everything we can to make sure that we prevent them in the future. And Tom, I also spend time talking about how we can continue to bring awareness to and get after the topic of preventing sexual assault and harassment, because things like that still happen, and it's horrendous events, and there are resources available for those victims as well, and that's another stigma that we have to get after, make sure people understand that there are resources available, and it's okay to ask for help if you've ever been victimized by someone as it relates to harassment or assault. Mentorship is another big one that I continue to talk about. I know I wouldn't be where I'm at today if it weren't for good mentors along the way in my career. And so I continue to talk about that with all of our young soldiers and airmen to make sure that they know that they have to reach out. It's important to reach out and find someone to help coach, teach, and mentor them along their way in their career. And we've talked about readiness. It's been brought up several times on this program already. And readiness is something that the Adjutant General directly charged me to make sure that I keep in mind. And so that's something I talk about within every group that I meet. And you know what? Readiness is what keeps the number one division in the National Guard, the number one heavy brigade in the National Guard. And, you know, it's readiness goes beyond the training and things that you talked about with General Loydalt. Of course, there's the readiness as it relates to medical and, you know, physical ability. So readiness is extremely important as well.
Sergeant Major, we've talked quite a few times about the multiple deployments that have happened since 2001, and you keep recruiting and you keep filling the spots and people keep coming back despite those deployments. How are our soldiers and airmen, how are the NCOs doing? What kind of shape are our Minnesota Air and Army National Guard soldiers and airmen in?
I think that our soldiers and airmen are in great shape. You know, one would think that when we had the very high op tempo of multiple deployments and many soldiers doing back-to-back deployments, and of course airmen as well, that it would drive people out of our formation. And as I get out and circulate now, I'm hearing just the opposite, that many of our soldiers and airmen want the opportunity to get to deploy again, and they're looking and want that that opportunity again.
They want the experience, they want to be tested, they want to go out and perform.
Right, because most of the people that I'm working with right now, of course, joined after 9/11, and they joined because they wanted to deploy. And so they're still looking for those opportunities to serve their country.
So physically, mentally, they're in great shape, and they're ready to go, and the readiness status is as high as it's been.
The citizens of Minnesota can rest assured that their Minnesota National Guard is ready and able to accomplish any mission that gets put before us, whether it's within our community or at the federal level. We can handle it. Our Minnesota National Guard, Army and Air, are well-trained and ready to do whatever our nation or our state needs us to do.
We're speaking with Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham from Military Appreciation Day at the Minnesota State Fair on Minnesota Military Radio. And Sergeant Major, speaking of people being ready, we've got another guest with us from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard, Tim Leonhardt. Tim, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you, Tom.
Sergeant Major, are you familiar with these fellas?
Yes, I am. And just amazed at the amount of support that we receive from the members, and I just love seeing them out there at every event that they can support, and we're just very appreciative.
And Tim, you've got many members, both men and women.
We do, and actually our membership in Minnesota is only about 50% veterans. All the rest of it is just citizens that want to make sure that the military understands that they appreciate what they do and what they've done.
So, Tim, for the listeners out here at the fair, can you tell us briefly, what does the Minnesota Patriot Guard do?
What we do is we want to make sure that at funerals and at deployments and welcome homes and any other event that we can support is to make sure that there's honor, dignity, and respect.
And so your riders, you've got how many across the state?
About 5,500.
And whenever there's a funeral, whenever there's a departure ceremony or a welcome home ceremony, you just send out an email and let them know about what's going on and where, and they show up.
We do. We only go when we're invited, though.
And you don't have to have a motorcycle.
Cages, which we've talked about before, because Tom drives a cage, which is a vehicle, four-wheel vehicle. Any way you can get to a mission is fine. You don't even need to be a Patriot Guard member to start out with. Just go to our calendar and look at what we got at mnpatriotguard.org. We'll mentor you through whatever's going on at whatever that event you want to come into.
Sergeant Major, I know you've seen the Patriot Guard riders at departure and welcome home ceremonies. It's a sight, isn't it?
Yeah, what a great sight. And I want to ask you, Tim, you know, every time I've been at something, I've seen representation from the Patriot Guard. And I'm just wondering, do you know off the top of your head, how many events have you participated in since you came into being?
Oh, boy. It's easier to say by year. We usually do between 450 and 520 missions, what we call a mission, a year.
Yeah, well, that's just great. And, you know, again, like I said, I've seen you at every event I've been at, and just can't say how much I really appreciate what you do and seeing you there. And I know that our soldiers and our airmen appreciate it as well, too.
It's an honor for us to be there. It's an honor to be invited. And it's the least that we can do to show the appreciations to those that have served, giving us the freedoms that we have.
Well, Tim, I want to thank you for joining us today out at the State Fair. Just like last year, you're going to be hanging around for a little bit.
A little bit.
All right, thanks for joining us. And Sergeant Major, it's always good to have you in the studio. And keep up the good work. You still got two more years to go, don't you?
Yes, I do, and I'm loving every minute of it. And, Tom, again, you know, General Loyalt said it. Again, we appreciate what you do, and thanks so much for this opportunity to be on the air with you again.
Thanks for joining us again today, sir. That was Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham, the Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, and Tim Leonhardt from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard. We're just about out of time. It's been fun to do this show from Military Appreciation Day from the Minnesota State Fair. I'd like to thank you for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Colonel Sandra Best, Major General Neil Lloyd Holt, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham, Tim Leonhardt from the Minnesota Patriot Guard, Commissioner Larry Shelado of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we talk to the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs from Military Appreciation Day at the Minnesota State Fair. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at minnesotamilitaryradio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at minnesotamilitaryradio.com.